All right. Good morning. I'm glad to be here this morning. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I want to thank you for everything that you're doing. Oh, and boy, a lot of work went into this mission conference. I want to thank a lot of the young people that they were involved in getting so many things done and all these sayings up around the wall and so much of the work, and they've been doing so much of the cleaning and whatever. And thank you everybody that prepared food last night. Amen. And, boy, I tell you what, it was good. I'm trying to lose weight, and it's sad because I can't eat all the food I want to eat whenever I go somewhere. But I got a good helping last night, so thank you for that, and thank you for everything that you've done. It's been a blessing to be here. It's always hard to come in and leave right away, and I seem like I'm hit and run. So I'll, by the grace of God, I'll see you somewhere here, there, or in the air, as they say. Amen? And so, but we've been looking at the harvest, and of course we see that the fields are white under harvest. We see that there are many laborers that are needed to get the job done. Boy, you need to continue to pray that we'll have, that God will call people into the ministry, amen? We're kind of putting that in the back seat today for some reason or whatever, but I'm going to tell you something. This nation is in serious trouble spiritually, and if we don't start having young men surrender to start churches and start having young people get into the ministry, our nation is going to go down quicker than we'd like. I prayed last night, God, spare America. Spare America. Give us some more time to raise up some young people and some people. And those of us oldest Christians, those of us who are older, we have got to influence that younger generation and prove that we have a true and living God. Amen? Boy, I want to live long enough to show this generation the power of God and how great God is and what he can do for us, because God's done so many things. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Let's stand for the reading of the Bible. Romans chapter 1, we'll start at verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That I may be comforted together with you by mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I may have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. For I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. Father, we're a very blessed people. Father, many people around the world would love to have what we have this morning. We have a beautiful building. Father, we have many people that love you in this room. They have a pastor here that loves his people and loves you. We have the Bible. Father, I'm so grateful that we have all of these things. And so, Father, but we're still a very needy people. Father, we need to be fed from you this morning. Father, during this mission conference, I pray that you'd touch our hearts this morning. And Father, help us to realize that there are many people around the world that do not have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And Father, you want them to hear. So Father, do a work that only you can do. Save the lost and change the life of the Christian. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated here. As we look at this, we've been looking at the harvest. Of course, we see the harvest is plenteous. We've been looking at it. We see the need of the harvest, and that is to have many laborers. And the way that we get the many laborers is to pray. And so as we look at the harvest, maybe God would touch some person's heart in this room today to go to the mission field and preach the gospel, or some young lady would go and be a wife of a missionary or help reach children or whatever. And then church members, you need to pray. Boy, if I could get you to do one thing, if you could pray, I always want to go into a church and find those people who can touch heaven, amen? Those who can get God involved in what's going on. And boy, we need some people that can pray. I asked the older people, they said, well, I can't move as fast and do as much or go as much, but you can pray. If you could just touch heaven and get a hold of God, and when prayers are answered, and boy, God not only answers our prayers on what we ask, but he goes abundantly, exceedingly above all that we ask or think. And this morning, I'd like us to think about harvesting our finances. We've looked at the field. We see the need, and the need is laborers and the answers to prayer. But I'd like us to look at harvesting our finances. And of course, as we look at this, Paul is a tremendous missionary. And Paul's doing the best that he can get the gospel out. And Paul has went many places preaching the gospel. I'm very fortunate that I have an opportunity to preach the gospel in many places. Next year, I'm looking towards Argentina and praying about going to India. And I want to start 10 more churches next year. God's allowed me to start 10 churches this year, and I'd like to start 10 more next year. And I've got so many things to look forward to. But as we look at this portion of Scripture, I want us to look at this. You know, I've been into missions for about 33 years now, and this church has supported missionaries, and this church has done so much for missionaries in the past at Faith Promise. But if we're not careful, it's very easy to lose our interest. And if we're going to do anything for missions, we're going to have a plan. We're going to have to have purpose and have a passion to go further. As we look at this portion of Scripture, there's one word I would like you to see here, and that's the word also. All right, verse 13, and that last part of that, that I might have some fruit among you also. Paul was saying, not only do I want to win people to Christ, but I want to help you to have fruit also. Always remember, every time that you give the missions, and as you give your faith promise, and as you pray, you're part of that missionary and his work. Amen? And during the night, you've already reaped a harvest during the night. You've already got fruit to your account. As you came in this morning, as you looked at the countries on the other side of the world are finished and they have fruit to your account. But look at verse 15. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul said, look, I've come to you, and I want to help you to increase your blessings to where you can have fruit to your account. And he said, look, not only have I been to certain places, but I'm coming to Rome. I want to go to Rome also. And we look at this, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We see this here. We need to do this. We need to be willing to go further. All right, and we need to be willing to go further in our mission program. We need to be willing to go further in a financial part of that. We need to increase our faith promise. We need to, it'd be great to add the Autrys to your mission program. And a second generation or third generation missionary, however you want, he's been raised on the field. He knows the language. He knows the culture. He's already been in there. A wise investment to someone that has been raised there and seen it all happen. But we need to do this. We need to be willing to go further. And just a couple things I want us to look at. The first thing, God's people need to be willing to go further because God never leads backwards. Amen? Boy, God has always said, the missionary C.T. Studd said, forward ever, backward never. I don't know about you in my Christian life. I don't want to go backward. By the grace of God, I'm not going backward. And I've got to work at that because I'm getting older. Man, I'm getting older. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I'm getting older, and I don't want to slow down because I'm getting older. I may have to adjust how I do things, but I still want to be involved. Amen? When you get older, don't cut back and say, well, I'm getting older. I really can't do. Well, you can do other things, and you can adjust how you can do things. Paul said this. Look, we need to go further. Why? Because there's more to conquer. Man, there's more to conquer. There's more countries that you need to support in getting the gospel to them. There's more missionaries that you need to get, and there's more Bibles that need to be printed, more tracts that need to be sent out. We look at this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. See, Paul, this was Paul's testimony. Paul said, back forward ever, backward never. And we wonder why Paul was used so much. And we wonder why God put his hand upon Paul. But if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Whatever you see in Steve Heidenreich today is not because Steve Heidenreich's anything. It's because of the grace of God upon him. I am nothing. You take God out of my life, I am the dust of the earth, and I deserve to die and go to hell. There's nothing good about me. It's because of the grace of God upon me. And Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Oh, God, you showed me your favor. Oh, God, you put your blessing upon me. Let it not be in vain. Amen? I want God to say, oh, I want to be able to go more and do more. But look at this. Here's the secret of Paul's life. But I labor more abundantly than they all. The word more. Paul said, I'm not trying to get out. I'm not trying to back off. I'm not going to quit. Paul said, more. I labor more abundantly than they all. This is not a time for us to cut back in our mission program. This is a time for us to move forward. And you look at the economy, and you look at the media, and you look at so many people, and they paint a picture of doom and gloom. But I got something new for you. Man, I'm not in the gloom and doom. Man, I'm in the doing, amen? And we look at this, and so go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we see Paul. Paul said, look it, man, I've got more to do. I'm not going backwards. God's people need to be willing to go further in our Faith Promise program because there are more people to reach, and many countries are starting to open up for the gospel. India is starting to open up for the gospel. And boy, to get in there where the Hinduism is and all those other different languages, they have over 3 million gods. Over 3 million gods. They can't even name them. And they're lost and on their way to hell. So we look at here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And we see Paul again. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. There's that word more again. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, and in death often. Well, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. And night and day I've been in the deep, in journeys often. And you see this, Paul. Paul said, look, it, I'm not going backwards. I'm going forward. I want to see how much more I could do for God. Boy, the dream, and I love our mission program at Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and we had our mission conference this year, and boy, I talked to a preacher, and I'm giving him ideas, and he said, man, Brother Heidner's got enough ideas to last a lifetime, and I do about missions and whatever I'm doing. If you're a Sunday school teacher, put your passion into it. Put your heart into it. If you're in the bus ministry, put whatever ministry God's given you. If you're going to sing, whatever you're going to do, put your heart into it. But we see this here. We need to go forward, all right? We need to be led forward. Paul said, look it, I've been to Corinth, but I'm coming to Rome. Galactica, and I'm coming to Rome. Thessalonica, I'm not done yet. What Paul was saying, look it, I'm going further. And I'm adding also. Paul said, I'm not done yet. Are you done with your mission program here at Faith Baptist Church? Are you done? I hope that you're just beginning. Amen? I hope every year that you can increase a little bit and keep on going. He said, at Colossae, I wrote a book. Ephesus, I passed through Philippi. And Paul was saying, I'm not done yet. Isn't that what this mission conference is about? Isn't it about what, doing more, going further to increase? We look at this. This church is not done yet. Amen? Amen. This church is not done. Like Paul, you need to say, I'm not done yet. The word also means in addition to. All right? In addition to, Paul said, I've been to Colossae, I wrote a book here, I've been here, but I'm going to Rome also. He was going to add Rome to whatever he was doing. And we look at that. This church is not done yet. Man, as you look at the globe and you look at the missionaries and you see the results and you hear the stories of people being saved, you ought to say in your heart, man, Faith Baptist Church, it's not done yet. There's more to do. We look at this. I'm praying for laborers, all right? Right, and you need to say, look at, I'm not done yet. I'm going to pray. Look at, pray for God to raise up laborers. You say, look at, I'm going to give to my Faith Promise so the gospel can go around the world. I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to add, look at, every person in this room need to add soul winning. Amen? You need to add soul winning to what you're doing. And you say, well, it's difficult. You pass out tracts. I mean, I'm going to add a Sunday school class. Maybe somebody here could teach a Sunday school class. And you're going to follow up on your visitors. Amen? Boy, maybe you're a little weak in your soul winning, but you can follow up on people who've already come. And we need to do that. And we said, look, I'm not done yet. In our mission program, we're saying, we're not done yet. We're looking at the Dominican Republic this year. And by the grace of God, we can add Dominican Republic to our mission program or whatever. God says God's people need to be willing to be led further because God never leaves backward. He always leads forward. Number two, God's people need to be willing to go further because our past experiences have equipped us for bigger commitments. Our past experiences have equipped us for bigger commitments. Boy, who better qualified to accept bigger challenges than those of us who've had victory in smaller ones? Amen? Boy, I'm going to tell you something. You know what encourages me? What encourages me is when God blesses, when God meets me. I pray for my faith promise. I give the faith promise every year. And because I teach it, and because I'm involved in it, and because I teach it, I have to do more than the regular person. I have to do that. And I travel on the support I raise. I need to raise support. I need to do things. And I'm starting, you know, with what I got. I live by totally by faith. Whatever comes in, that's what I have. I have no other income except the supporting churches and how God people bless or whatever. That's the only way I can do things. But I said, God, I'm teaching it. I've got to go above the regular person. I've got to make, and boy, doing that, God has opened it up. At the beginning of the year, people were saying, Brother Heidenreich, the economy is bad. And I said, well, the economy has nothing to do with God, amen? And they said, well, I said, all right, now, God, this year, because everybody's saying the economy is bad and we don't have this and we can't do that, I said, God, you've got to increase what I do. You've got to increase it more than you've ever done before. I've raised almost $12,000 this year on the side to start churches. Amen? Oh, people say there's no money. Don't tell me that, because God's already showed me there's money. All right? And so we look at this, all right? We see this here. You didn't get this far without praying. And here's what your faith promise is. Faith promise is God giving his money through you. That's not your money. God wants you to tithe, amen? The first thing you do with your paycheck is tithe. Then God wants you to live. God wants you to have the clothes that you need, the food that you need. God wants you to have the house and the car that you need. And so God says, look, I've given you the tithe and I give you your money. Good. Use it, amen? Use it wisely for him. But then faith promise comes. God says, I'm not asking you for your money. God says, I'm asking you to let me give my money through you. That's why, look at, pray. God, how much do you want me to give? And but we don't spend enough time praying. You get down on your knees and you spend time. You may have to pray a couple days. You may have to pray a couple weeks before you make a faith promise commitment. As the preacher has his mission conference every year, before the mission conference comes, you ought to begin praying, God, how much do you want to give through me? What is it that you want to give through me? And we see like this. We say, man, our past experiences should equip us for bigger equipment, for bigger challenges. You look at David. David's a perfect example of this. We always hear the story of David and Goliath, and it's a great story, and boy, most children know it. But you know something? We missed one of the most important parts of that story, because in the end, in verse 46 of that chapter, it says that all the earth may know there's a God. We spend so much time bragging on Goliath, sometimes how big he was, and then we brag on what David did, but what was the purpose of the whole thing? The purpose of the whole thing is that all the earth would know there's a God. Amen? And we look at it. David, he did it, but he started with the lion. Yeah, he fought the lion. When he's a shepherd boy in the back of the mount where nobody ever seen him, when he's back there watching the sheep, he slew the lion, and then he slew the bear. And because he was victorious in those little battles, I'm not going to face the lion, amen? I'm going to Alaska next weekend, and they had a bear in the airport. I look up, good night. I mean, that thing's wide. That thing's up there. The claws on his paw. I mean, dude, the claws sometimes are that long on that thing. He just inflamed me in one bite, you know, one swing. I mean, but I say, well, that's a little battle, the lion and the bear. But they were victories. They were smaller victories. And then when Goliath came, he said, look it, man, I've already had the victory over here with the lion. I've already had the victory with the bear. Goliath is just like one of them. And so we see this. Some of you, like David, you've defeated the lion and the bear. Some of you have defeated or have slain the bear of greed. Boy, you know one thing that hurts us in Christianity? We become so greedy. We want more and more and more. And while we're building our houses bigger and we're building all of our stuff and getting all the things that we need, we forget what God needs. God wants the gospel to go into all the world. And God says, I want you to have your house, and I want you to have your car and your needs and your clothes. But he said, can't you just send some portions of what you have to those who have nothing? Some of you slain the bear of greed. Some of you slain the lion of poverty. And some of you come along and you say, oh, but the economy is so bad. And some of you stand up and say, listen, even though during the difficult times we can continue to give. The third thing I want to look at this morning is this. God's people need to be willing to go further, even though circumstances don't support our decisions. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8. We need to be going, we need to go further, even though circumstances do not support our decision. You'll make a commitment to faith promise. If you're in this mission conference and you've prayed and God's laid a mount upon your heart and you're going to soon fill out a slip of paper telling that telling what God wants you to give through you, and you don't have to put your name on it. Nobody cares. Nobody knows between you and God. Amen? And we see this here, though. We see this, though. But as soon as you make that commitment, you watch out. The devil's going to come after you. There's some circumstances going to come up. And when you make a commitment to give, it's like a vow. Once you make that commitment, you've got to keep it. Amen? Boom, I'll tell you something. This is honest God's truth with me. I do one thing. I tithe no matter what. I tithe. I don't care if I got to skip a meal or go without something. I tithe first because I cannot have God as my enemy. I don't want God to call me a robber. All right, I've got to have God's blessing, so I'm not going to rob God to do the other things I need to do. I'm going to tithe, and I'm going to tell you something. When you tithe, God blesses your life. Boy, you say, well, if I tithe, I won't have. I'm going to tell you something. I've been tithing for almost 40 years, and my wife has never worked a job. Never worked a job. We've always had what we needed. We put our kids through a Christian school. I went through a school myself, Bible college. I've done everything that needed to be done. And because I have tithed, then God's blessed my tithing. I know people that have worked two or three jobs. They won't tithe. They'll rob God, and they'll substitute trying to work jobs and trying to do this and do this, and their bag has holes in the bottom. I don't care how hard you work. If you're not tithing, when you put it in, man, your bag has just got holes in the bottom. It falls straight out. And so we look at this here, we see this here, though. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We look at this. As soon as you make a commitment, some circumstance, the devil will do anything he can to keep you from making your promise and keeping your promise here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, moreover, brethren, verse 1, we do to wit the grace of God bestowed upon the Macedonian churches. Now, the churches of Macedonia were churches that were started by Paul. They were Philippi, Berea, Thessalonica. The churches of Macedonia were churches that were started by a missionary. And these churches were started, and as these churches were started, they began to grow, and they started supporting missionaries. It's good to hear your prayer letters when you read your prayer letters, and the churches over there have started churches, and the churches over there have sent out missionaries. I was blessed on this trip to the Philippines. I was over there, and when I was there, a young man in our ministry, one of the first young men saved in our ministry, Monty Sedona, I told you about him a little bit this week. Well, he grew up in our ministry. He went to Thailand-Burma border. He's been over there for, about 5 or 6 years now. He wrote to me. He said, Pastor, God has called two of our young couples out of our Burmese church to go as missionaries back into Burma. They're on Thailand's side. They're going back into Burma as a missionary. We've got another couple going out of our church up here in Thailand to start a church. And boy, it's amazing, isn't it? The churches sent me to the Philippines, and we started the church, and the church in the Philippines, they sent a missionary over to the Thailand border. They started a church, and now they're sending missionaries into Burma and then to Thailand. Amen? You see this? You see how important it is? The gospel goes on, and that's what it is. It says here, what helped the churches? Now, you're going to see this here in the next couple of verses. These churches were in great affliction. They were in deep poverty, all right? Now, great affliction, we don't know what great affliction is yet in America. We're spoiled rotten. We don't know what great affliction is. Look at verse 2, how that in the trial, in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto their riches of liberality. Look at, you see this, these churches in Macedonia, they were in great affliction. They were in deep poverty. Deep poverty is when you have nothing. You have nothing to eat. And deep poverty is maybe you'll go 2 or 3 or 4 days without eating. Deep poverty has, you have no money to do anything. And we're not in deep poverty. We're not in great affliction. But these churches were in great affliction. They were in deep poverty. If there was any group of churches that could say, well, I'm not giving because I don't have anything to give. You'd say, oh, this church is too poor to give. There is nobody too poor to give. Now look at this. It says here, look at verse 3. For to their power, all right, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they are willing to give themselves. Here they said this. They said, look, we're in deep poverty. We're in great affliction. But for their power, they had such a burden. They were a result of a missionary. They knew what a missionary could do. They were thanking God for a missionary coming to them because they were saved. Their family was saved. And God was blessing their church. And they said, oh, we will be a part of that. They said, our church wants to send out missionaries. Our church wants to send the gospel so others can reap what we've gotten. And they said, but they're poor. They're poor. And look at what made the difference in these churches. What made the difference? Look at back verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit that the grace of God was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is God's favor upon you. Amen? The grace of God is God's favor upon you, where he favors you and he gives you things that you do not deserve, and he watches over and he takes care of you. These people in Macedonia said, man, we're poor, Paul. We're in deep affliction, but we want to give. And it says here, for to their power, they gave what little they had. You know, when you give to your power, that means you can reach into your wallet. That means you can reach into your purse, or you may have a bank account that you can go to. That's your power. Oh, boy, I taught the Filipinos when I first went there to give the faith promise. Every church gives the faith promise. The Philippines is not a rich country. And, boy, I taught them. They said, oh, Pastor, I taught them to tithe. Amen. They said, we cannot tithe. Oh, we're farmers. We cannot tithe. Well, the Filipinos love fried chicken. Amen. They're not alone. You like fried chicken? Amen. I like fried chicken, but I really like to baptize them in gravy. Amen. And so whatever, about telling you what, man, I'll tell you. And we look at this, and they said, oh, Pastor, we're farmers. We cannot tithe. I said, okay, I'll come to your house, and I would visit their house. I said, all right, let's. How many chickens you got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7. You know what? The first one belongs to God. Amen? They have banana trees. That's, look at that bunch of bananas. All right, count 10. 10? All right, 1, 2, 3. First one's God's. 11th one's God's. 21st is God. And they said, you know, and so the Filipinos are very smart and they're thinking, oh, you know, they have piglets and maybe a sow will have like 8, 9, 10 piglets. They say, oh, Pastor, it only had 9. God didn't get his. You know, 1 out of 10, they're thinking. I said, no, wait a minute. God gets his first. Amen? If you only have one piglet, guess what? God gets it and you don't. Amen? But they're always thinking, they're like America sometimes. We always think about how we can get out of giving, how we can avoid giving. Well, oh boy, you ought to see us. Okay, faith promise Sunday, or tithing, or faith promise Sunday, bring in your faith promise. And this is honest truth. Here they come, bringing chickens tied to their belt, bag of rice on here. They brought their bananas. We had guava. Here comes the pig squealing. And boy, at the altar, we had all this stuff. They didn't have money, but they had their things that they're supposed to tithe on. They had things that they could give. They sacrificially give their rice and their food to faith promise because they said, we want to be a part of it. Now you look at this verse 3 again. They gave for their power. I bear record and beyond their power. Now what's beyond their power? See, when you give to your power, that means whatever you have, you can give out of that. But beyond your powers when God gets involved. Amen? That's where faith promise kicks in. Faith promise is when you're doing what you could. There's people that give because God prospers them. There's people that give sacrificially. There's people that give because the grace of God is upon them. But faith is when you don't have it. Faith is when you're expecting God to give it. See, they gave beyond their power. How could they do that? God had to get involved. They had to trust God for something they didn't have. God, I don't have an offering, but I know that you're going to give me an offering, and so I'm going to give that. Today in your faith promise, you're saying, well, man, I don't have any money to give the faith promise. That's why we call it faith. You're going to go to God and say, God, I don't have an offering, but when you give me an offering, I'm going to give it. And so they were saying, look, they went beyond. Even though circumstances did not support their decision, they said, look, we're going to give. We're going to give. They said, man, we're burdened. I want to give. I look at a lost and dying world, and I've seen the results. I've preached the gospel to thousands, and some of the biggest crowds I've seen, and I've seen 700 people come down an aisle at one time to get saved. I've seen it. And I said, God, I don't have it. I want to go to India next year. I don't have the money, God. God, I want to take Bibles. I want to take tracts. I've got to help start these churches. And God, I'm trusting you, and I'm looking forward to you. And I know that you're going to do those things. And guess what? Every year, God does them. Amen? Every year God comes through. God is more interested than we are. And so we see this. Who is the source of our giving? Who's the source of our giving? Jehovah God's the source of our giving. Does he have any less resources today than he did when he gave the great command to go into all the world and preach the gospel? No. You know what $1 million is to God? It's a little pebble of sand on the beach with God. That's what $1 million is. You think, man, God is not broke. God is not some old man upstairs. They say, oh, the old man upstairs in the wheelchair with two CNI dogs. That's not my God, amen? My God is alive. My God's powerful, amen? So we see this. The third thing I want us to look at, all right, the fourth thing, God's people need to be willing to go further because so little can produce so much. So little can produce so much. The biggest part of the job has been done. Do you know what the cross is? You know what the cross is? The cross is the biggest contribution ever given. The cross is the biggest contribution ever given. You look at the cross, and nobody will ever match what God gave. No matter what we do and how much we want to give and how much we do give, we'll never match what happened on that cross. God gave his only begotten son. It took his only begotten son. Nothing else would ever do. So God gave the greatest contribution that was ever given. Oh, missionaries give their lives. That's big. Churches give their money. Churches give their best people. And that's big. But the biggest and the greatest contribution is this. You'll never outgive what God gave to his only begotten son. Boy, you look at that and you think, man, if God's willing to give his son, how much more is he willing to give through you and I that the gospel of Jesus Christ to go into the world? Think about this. Then the Holy Spirit comes and says, well, I want you to give the faith promise. That should be easy for us. After all that God did, and you look at that, and then it comes to us, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to give and to be a part of faith promise. So little could produce so much as we look at this. I went to Guyana, and I don't know, I probably told part of this story before, but I went to Guyana, and I seen how so little could produce so much. I have a little boy in my church, and I tell this story, and I don't think I've told it here, I might have, and I tell so many stories of everyone. I used to laugh at Dr. Jack Hiles. He'd get up and tell a story, and we'd all go, number 13. Number 14, just tell us the number. We've heard them so many times, amen? Now that I preach so many places and so many days a week, sometimes I'll preach 13 days a week. I don't know what story I told or which one I'm going. But Ethan, he's a little boy, and when I get ready to go somewhere, he'll help me. He'll always bring up a little Bible. And that's probably about $5, $6 Bible. And of course, you know, so I was getting ready to go to Guyana this year. And so his mother brought him and said, Brother Heidenreich, Ethan's got something he wants to give you. And so he hands me this Bible, he gives it to me. And his mother says, well, I've got a problem. And she said, I got a problem I want to tell you about. And I said, no, you have a pastor. I said, Dr. Owens, you're a pastor. I am not your pastor. If you have a problem, go see the preacher. Amen. Anybody's got a problem for him, go see the preacher. Amen. And so the woman goes, no. I got to tell you. And you ever try to tell a woman not to tell you anything? I mean, they didn't. I know. I said, look, you got to go see the pastor. She said, I got a problem. I said, no, you got to go see the pastor. But you know something? She's going to tell me whether I want to or not. She said, well, here's the problem. And I go, oh, man, here's the problem. My little boy Ethan told me to give you $1,200. I said, oh, bring your problems to me. Yes, bring, got any more problems like that? Amen. Bring your. And they said, no. They said, Ethan said, he's 5, 6 years old. He said, Brother Heidenreich needs to start a church. And Mom and Daddy, you need to give him $1,200, amen? And so, they're working on that. And but she said, here's a little Bible, and here's $100. Take it on your trip to Guyana. Now, that seems like so little till we got to Guyana. Then we got to Guyana, we had this big day where we were in the cricket field and whatever, and 1,159 people showed up or whatever. One lady brought 128 first-time visitors for that Bible. Amen? A $5, $6 Bible. And we can't imagine in America. We can stick $500 bills in the Bibles in the pews and you still won't pick them up, amen? Yeah, you won't. I can give you a trip to Mars and you still won't go get any visitors, amen? It'd be good for somebody to go to Mars because you're not doing much good here, amen? And so, but anyway, But anyway, we look at this. A $5 Bible, 128 first-time visitors. And I know a lot of those people got saved for a $5 Bible. Then that $100, we took that $100, we rented four vans. Now, in foreign countries, man, there's no load limit on any transportation, man. Thank God I'm not going to come back and be reincarnated into a van, amen, or a Jeep, amen. Because, man, they abuse those things. In one van, I counted 43 people to get out of one van, amen. They started, honest truth, they started unloading that thing. I went around to see the other side. Somebody was walking back in the other side. I could not believe that. That $100 rented four vans. They brought 133 people in four vans, amen. And you know all people are not thin, right? Not all thin. Man, they crammed them in there. But see, so little. Now you got 128 visitors over here, and you got 133 people here. And that's just part of the 1,159. And how many people were saved? So little can produce so much. You say, well, my faith promise, I'm going to put down maybe $10 a week or whatever or whatever or whatever. But I'm going to tell you something. When you put that down and you give it, and you give it to your missionaries, and see, when you give it to your missionaries, the missionaries give it to God and say, God, multiply it. And we can't comprehend that in America. We can't comprehend that God multiplies it, but there are people in every country I go to, it's not, I cannot draw a crowd, as I cannot get them there. You know what the hardest thing is for me is to do this? I go to places. We had a big day in the Philippines, I think, last year. We left over 1,000 people waiting for a ride that we could not pay for transportation. I'm thinking over 1,000 people that would have come, could have heard the gospel, but they couldn't. I spend everything I get. Sometimes I do this. I write a check over there because I know it takes 10 days to get back here. So I will write it on the last day, and they'll cash it over there, and I get back over here and cover it in the last day. That's faith, amen? And God has never failed me yet, amen? Because God knows. God knows. I said, I got to do something to get these people underneath the sound of the gospel. Today, this mission conference, we've seen the fields are white under harvest. Many countries, many people, they're ready for the reaping. And then we've seen the biggest need, and that's laborers. We see the answer to that is prayer. Pray, oh dear God, send us laborers, dear God. Call young men and women. Call people to go to the mission field and to get involved. And then we see this morning, the harvesting of our finances. If we're ever going to do it, we got it. We see it. It's ready. We've got laborers ready. Brother Autry and his wife want to go. There's other missionaries. We said, look at the fields. They're white. Well, we looked at them. We've seen they're ready. Now we said, look, the greatest need is laborers. And we prayed, and God has raised us some laborers. Now comes the big thing, harvesting the finances. Well, Brother Heidrich, I've seen the field. I can't go. Brother Heidrich, I've prayed, and God's answered that. But everybody can give. Everybody can give because it's God giving his money through you. It's you praying and say, God, what is the amount that you want me to write down? And I'm telling you something. When the Holy Spirit of God tells you to write that down, God is going to meet that need because the Holy Spirit of God told you what it is. Have you spent time? It's harvest time financially. Are we going to put it together today? Are you going to add? Paul said, I'm going to Rome also. In addition to, it's time for you to do. We're going to go to maybe the Dominican Republic also. We're going to add to our mission program also. We're going to add to our soul winning also. But to do that is, you're going to have to come to the place where you add to your faith promise also. Those of you who have given must increase. Must increase. And I'm telling you what, after I seen what God did this year, I'm asking an increase next year because I know he can do it, amen? Those of you who have never participated, it's time for you to say, I'm going to start. I'm going to start with the little I have, and I'm going to mark it down, and I'm going to give it because I want to do something in reaching the world. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you today. Father, we need you. Father, I pray that you would help us. Father, this has been a tremendous mission conference. These people have worked to prepare for it. Father, we have heard Brother Autry and the work that he's doing in the Dominican Republic and how much more needs to be done. Father, we've heard stories of many people being saved in different countries and many people lacking the opportunity. Father, we've seen the mission field. We've seen it, Father, through your eyes. Father, we know the greatest need is for laborers. And Father, you've answered and given us some laborers now. Now, Father, we need to do our part. Father, we need to put our finances into motion. And Father, I pray that you'd speak during this invitation, that you'd speak during this time of taking up the commitments. Father, do a work that only you can do. Holy Spirit, I beg you this morning to work. Holy Spirit, speak to your people. And Father, may we respond to what the Holy Spirit's called us to do. In your precious name we pray. Amen.